I just pushed the button. It's on.
You know the third bed. We need couples. Now, don't make a big thing about whether a couple is a man and a lady. We need set of two. And for this one, when the little kids come and watch, because it'll take a little bit while to learn. The kids are going to do the next thing. So Ellen and some of the wee ones, come on up here if you've got one. Get a partner. No, you wouldn't just take the gentleman's part, it's the lady's part. And I need small circles of about five or six couples in every
meeting.
Small circles of five or six couples. Just warm up. There's room, put these two circles a little closer to one. Man, what?
on your purse. You want to do a promenade?
No. They have couples around in the park.
I don't know whose purse it is.
The promenade of the dance is a processional, and they will do it, and then a couple acting as the leader will lead the whole company out the door and down the steps to the booth. Now, this is a very easy dance to learn. We will go two by two, and Jack, why don't we break up some of the little couples, some of the bigger couples, take one of the small children, and so that they're not all in one place. Let's put some of them over on this side of the room. Dorothy and bring some of the little kids over on this side. They're not all together, otherwise it's hard. That's right. Wait, come on, wait.
I see you.
Make sure each small child has a bigger person with them. That's right. Now, can you just quickly turn around and find another couple behind you and make a little circle of four? And if you didn't get somebody, go in the middle and find somebody else that doesn't have four. So you know where the fours are. Is there any couple that doesn't have a four? Or in the middle, anybody, another couple that doesn't have a four? We need one more couple in order to make this comfortable. Come on, probably to the side of the floor. Okay, going back in here in the now, when I say, dancing a couple behind you or next to you, this is the set of four I mean. All right, form your processional again. Okay. You'd like to do both couples facing forward. And I'm going to do eight steps of step. Here we go. And forward. One, two, three. Thank you.
colored. And would some of the grape soil bring out the large gallon jug of wine so I can mix the fruit? And beating together is definitely nice all day, but trust me, we wish you a very happy rebirth and new year.
Six in that box? I only counted five.
left hand of darkness, dispossessed, where cannons roar, plenty of exile, city of illusions.
Lady of Heaven.
No, Lady of Heaven's not in there. Lady of Heaven is six, and it's separate. And then there's really just one, the rest of Georgia.
Maybe that's all. I thought that was a new one. I don't know.
She does have a book of poetry, which you can only read at the rare books room at the Memorial Library.
Yeah. Is that out?
Well, it was only printed once. One of those little softbound poetry.
I don't worry about it. It'll be printed again. So popular. Yeah, it's getting really popular. Heavily popular. So I think it'll be a real. I'm pretty sure it'll be printed again. Philosopher's Stone.
By Colin Wilson?
Yeah.
It is, as you say, a very interesting book.
Just the last couple of pages.
I'm too convinced that Colin Wilson doesn't know what he's talking about. He's going to enjoy myself much.
Well,
but he hasn't been there. Because I don't think he has. He's
kind of like Asimov. Like he writes books on all this different kind of stuff.
But Asimov knows his shit. Asimov refuses to write something because he doesn't have to
write. What's he got out?
He's got one that I showed you the historical outlook on the Bible.
Yeah.
Historical annotations for the Bible. He's got 1,000 pages.
He's got all those, that college lecture series, anatomy, physiology, physics, chemistry, all that science fiction stuff, Foundation trilogy. He's got a book on, like, was it when I used to have it? It's like detective stories, science fiction stuff, physics principles, that's how they figure it out. The guy gets killed by a pool ball.
Lucky Star and those are the most insane fashion science fiction I've ever read.
How could he do this?
He's got Lucky Star and his sidekick, what's his name? And they arrive and there's all these different physics clues and chemical toxicology, all that.
Yep,
you got
it all.
I know
it's a natural
story.
Right,
but you
got it. Great. Science fiction practice.
Spring,
right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we're going to dance.
telling me about she was telling me.
She was telling me about Folklore Village last night. On midnight. And someone, two little kids handing each person a willow leaf. She has her willow leaf in her dress. And then they went inside and they started with her hand.
Yeah.
can hunt on the cinder tree. And Mike Briggs just asked Brett about me. He wondered where it could be that I would have a ranch. And he didn't understand the none of my genes part.
Train like tremendous contribution today. He's the one that moved the table out in the middle.
He's also the one that had to take her home. She had a nap.
Oh, while we were in church?
I knew she was crabby this morning. I didn't know if she was that tired. She wanted me to meet her. Screaming at me. And she's been really frank with me. Both have had it, so we just decided to take them to the
weather.
I don't know if that's what? Apple?
There's lots more apples. Addicted to swimming. She swims her power every day. Non-stop. a book about positive addiction. You can be addicted to running or yoga or swimming or healthy things like that.
There are 15 roles that have been identified for the simulation. And all of the 15 roles are defined on this list that I'm going to hand out. Now, what I would like to do is to have people volunteer right now, and this we can go through this very quickly, volunteer to play various roles. Now, some roles have men's names and others women's names, but I want you to disregard that. Just simply volunteer. It doesn't matter if, you know, Joe Jokes and you're a woman, volunteer. So could I just have, would you please raise your hand if you know you're going to be here or expect you're going to be here and are willing to participate as one of the designated role players next time. And I will read off the names. Mayor Verbose. Do I have a volunteer for Mayor Verbose? Somebody there in the back. Okay, all right. Would you get the names? Philip Hardwood, who is the regional representative for the Forest Service.
Well, I'll do that.
The next one has an extremely important role. The person who is the head of the Sterling City chapter of the Sierra Club, her name is here is Shirley Green. Do I have a volunteer for this? Okay. The chairperson of the Wisconsin Inland Waterway Association. Volunteer, please. Okay. Congressman from the area, Congressman Shrewd, Jonathan Shrewd. Another congressman from the area, Liberal Democrat, Congressman Frank Arrow. Okay. The field representative of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, Lieutenant Colonel Armstrong Shuttlecock.
That's John Depp.
The head of president of the Sterling City Chamber of Commerce, Charles Bidmore. Remember, these can be either men or women. Please disregard. Yes. Jonathan Hardwick, farmer. Small farmer in this case. Jonathan Hardwick. Abraham Horvath, large farmer. State senator from the region. State rep from the region. A council person, member of the city council. Another council person, councilperson B. Another one, please.
Okay, Henry.
Okay. Councilperson C.
We're almost at the end here. Let's just go on forever.
Anyone else? Volunteer, please, for councilperson C. Okay. Councilperson D.
He's crazy.
Member of the city council, please. Finally, Helen Lipoff, a reporter. The group is standing way in the back. Do we have any volunteers back there for a reporter?
They don't know what it's about.
Helen Lipoff.
If you are not, if you have taken a role, and you are not, if something occurs and you're not going to be able to attend, please let us, let me know, or John Lewis is working with me. Just please notify us. Now, of those of you who did not get the role, I want to urge your coming next week, too, because it's been hard for everybody. But these will be the undesignated roles that we don't have any. Everybody's welcome.
Catch some people that just yell or tap their hands. We're speaking spontaneously.
One short additional announcement. The passflowers are in full bloom on the prairie site.
It's a very meager bloom, and don't go walking around the prairie because there are fewer plants than I can remember ever being up there for some reason. There is one marvelous bunch right in the island in the middle as you drive around, coming right up through the grass. That is easy to look at. The others are on down the bottom.
Yeah, folks, we're going to sing For the Beauty of the Earth, which is song number 4 in the songbook. Could we all stand and sing For the Beauty of the Earth?
In contrast to suffering, in contrast to sorrow, primitive people were always very surprised to see that anything would come up out of the dead earth. And lots of us are surprised to see that our gardens are coming up this year at all. This is what is left of a large branch of my elm tree that came down in the ice storm. And for me, it symbolizes this darkness and the pain and frequently the suffering that many of us have experienced during the winter. Dan Willard, I think it was, last September, said that our sadness is as much a part of our life as our laughter. And he said that it isn't always the obvious things that make you feel sad, but that he had once seen a maple leaf scooting across a lake, and it had made him want to sob and to weep, which made me think of a poem by Archibald MacLeish that has the line in it, "For all the history of grief, an empty doorway and a maple leaf." I have a poem that Ron Slabaugh gave me that emphasizes the same thing, I think. "Connecting the sorrow back to life, the rain back to the spring. We are speaking of love, a leaf, a handful of seed. Begin with these, learn a little what it is to love. First a leaf, a fall of rain, and then someone to receive what a leaf has taught you, what a fall of rain has ripened. No easy process, understand. It could take a lifetime. It has mine, and still I've never mastered it. I only know how true it is that love is a chain of love as nature is a chain of life." Dorothy Ostris is going to talk to us a little bit about some of her experiences this morning.
I'm remembering Janet especially today because tomorrow would have been her 21st birthday. She probably would have worn this skirt for the occasion because one of her own private little traditions was her patchwork skirt. She made it the summer that she was 15, and I don't think she had any intention of creating anything that was like a memory quilt. She just went through the trunks and found the things that we've been saving over the years. But in the process, she really created a kind of a family history. The patch from the first maternity dress I ever made. And this is a patch from the first dress she ever sewed. And this is a patch from the curtains we had when we were at Tiffany Point. This came from the sofa on Raoul. And so each one of these squares has a very special little memory attached to it. And when Annis invited us to share quilts, well, this was the one that isn't exactly a quilt, but it's a patchwork, that I especially wanted to share with you. I especially wanted to wear today to wrap all the good memories of 21 years. Jan was one of the new Prairie members of the past year. She signed the book just 9 days before her death in January. She died in a blinding snowstorm. But I remember earlier that evening, the two of us had been having an especially happy time together at dinner because she'd spent her whole day planning her skirts. She was so full of enthusiasm about new dance classes, making more time for swimming, and schemed to make enough money to go back to Norway and Sweden. It was during a winter in Norway that she'd become a really enthusiastic cross-country skier. And one of her disappointments this past winter had been the lack of snow here. And then that night, as she was already bubbling with enthusiasm about the good things to come in the spring, came the sight of the first snowflakes of what was obviously going to be a snowstorm. We were positively ecstatic, both of us. We lived all of our lives, well, this is as far south as either of us ever knew. And we had a certain disdain for the weathermen on the TV that were frightened or, you know, acted as though snow was some sort of a terrible thing to have happen. We were a very happy pair that evening, and she found a ground a lot as we tidied up our kitchen. And then she left the house to get time. right back to meet the fire to lounge by in honor of the snowstorm. And I got on the phone and made plans to go skiing in the morning. Life hadn't looked so hopeful in quite a while. It was only about an hour later that Tom called. Jan was dead. Our family gathered at the hospital and we said our goodbyes as best we could. And then we came out of that cold, musty night. And in the short space of a couple of hours, my whole attitude toward winter had changed in a sense, because it had never seemed bleak and hopeless before. Instead now, it was excruciating and hopeless. But of course, comfort began to come in so many ways. The Carsons came out that night in the snowstorm with their own pain so fresh and shared with us their feelings and gave us some sense of direction about how to go about creating a cold effort of Jan's life. And comfort has come in a lot of ways, not the least of which are with lawyer friends who have fought very good fights indeed against the bureaucrats. We've gotten some good feelings out of that. It could not have come up from elsewhere. Somebody loaned me a copy of a book called Many Winters that perhaps helped as much as anything, and I want to share a short reading from that. Many winters have I lived ever since the beginning of time when the first snow fell covering the tired earth, which played with them in the sun. Many winters I held captive the water captive on the tops of many mountains, still warm from the earth's beginning when the moon and the sun gave birth to one full circle of beauty. Many winters I moved the stars around so that the place where each star fell was where a river grew, taking as its course to the sea the path of the winter sun. Many winters the trees slept with me, and the animals walked on my grass, just as the birds came near, seeking warmth from my fire, which took the sting from the night. Many winters I have been companion to the lonely moon, chasing from the raging sun, which listened to our song of thanks before releasing the earth from winter. Many winters have I lived, ever since the beginning of time, when out of the melting snow came the first frail flower, which said, "I am the spirit of spring." This is from the writings or the speakings of the Dallas Indians, recorded by a white woman who spent a lot of time. Last short passage. The earth is all that lasts. The earth is what I speak to when I do not understand my life, nor why I am not heard. The earth answers me with the same song that it sang for my fathers and my mothers when their tears covered up the sun. The earth sings a song of gladness. The earth sings a song of praise. Earth rises up and laughs at me each time that I forget how spring begins with winter and death begins with winter.
Thank you very much. I think in modern America, it's sometimes very hard to talk about death. It's much easier sometimes in modern America to talk about sex than it is to talk about death. And I have very much an admiration of Dorothy for what she's been able to bring us to. And the reporter for the Bach Wonder.
Our selection is from the Monty Cut by Bach. It is the alto aria, the Surientes, and the translation. He has filled his hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. If you notice at the end, the two melody lines will end before the chord is resolved. And indeed, the rich are sent empty away. The chord ends very empty.
ministry to have the help of Dodie Chapro from Folklore Village. He's written a whole thing up called Folklore of the Awakening Spring. And the reason she's not here today is that she was doing something having to do with being wrapped up in willow reeds and at midnight last night. Out in Folklore Village, I'm not quite sure what it was, but she thought she'd be too exhausted to be here. Our readings today are from this thing that she gave us. Rosemary?
Spring rain and water charms are found throughout the world. Life vessels such as the green valve or a sacrificial animal were once left by a well in spring, brings additional water to the coming season. In Albania, a young rainmaker sings a rain charm song and is given eggs and money by housewife to bring water over them. In Serbia, a young girl called Dodola is stripped to her skin and completely covered with grass, herbs, and flowers. Dances in the village of other girls from form of Lingoraza. The faster the Dodola grows, faster the flowers grow. Housewives pour water over her to encourage the egg. The life force of the egg was particularly evident in spring. The egg became a universal symbol of rebirth, a symbol still found in the world's great religions. Eggs were used to dispel evil, bring fertility, or to divine the future. The magic egg placed in the mouth of a sacrificial animal increased the animal's life restoring powers. A red egg, perhaps once smeared in the animal's life force, was considered sacred. The gift of a red egg was surely a wish for fertility or the expression of love. Eggs are still shared in a variety of sexual and religious practices. In Romania, the first egg died at Easter was shared with the children. They ate it in silence, then circled around it with a turf laid in the center of the room. The eggshell was then filled with dough from the Easter bread and placed on the beam in the living room for good luck. Two life forces, the egg and the grain, were thus combined to add extra strength to the charm. In a similar Easter custom, once practiced, the head of the household divided an egg between family members. If any member should get lost, thinking of those who shared the egg, direct their thoughts toward him to help him return the crest. Because of the importance placed upon the egg in early ritual, it is quite possible that egg contests such as tapping, tossing, rolling, dancing, and jumping blindfolded were once part of springtime fortune.
Well, I brought an egg at Christmas to hang on the Christmas tree. And it's up there. That is a kind of Romanian egg. And then I brought in Georgia a Christmas wreath made of patchwork to hang on the Easter tree. Mm-hmm. I think, I'm not quite sure what this expresses, but that was my decoration. Did anybody else bring decorations for the Easter tree? Yes, would you like to bring yourself? Does anybody else have a symbol for the tree? Let's see if we can put it on. This tree is in need of something.
I think that the first real sign of spring is when I can pick that many violets sitting in one place.
I agree with Nellie, except it's when I can eat that many violets.
I would like, before the end of this service, for everybody to take one of my violets, so that I can share my violets with everybody.
Okay, everybody be sure to come and get one. You know, you're right about it. Sit over here. I think I'll put it right at the bottom.
Thank you.
Now, what are these?
Pussy willows.
Pussy willows that are blooming. Why don't we...
They're all rooted. Two or more. We got Our original one 3 years ago from the Willards, and I've got a tremendous bush on the phone. Anybody who would like it?
They are rooted already?
Yeah.
Sweet.
I mean, I see some lovely hats, but maybe they don't belong on the tree. Did you have something, Bob? Do you want to explain what it is?
Oh, it's so hard to explain. It's feast or famine, or when it rains, the forest will cool. So this is a project that I got out of the inspiration. And so anyway, it's a blue and green mandala. I hope it's raining and pouring, good, isn't it?
Yes.
That's wonderful.
I'm so keys to my motorcycle.
It's a slightly different symbol. At the end of the Passover Seder, Jews always say, next year in Jerusalem. Well, next year for Ruth and I was this year, because we took a trip to Israel. And Ruth's birthdays and mine are a day apart, February 22nd and 23rd, and we celebrated them appropriately in front of the Wailing Wall. incidentally, in Jerusalem, the almond trees were in bloom, and the little flowers are just like our flowering almonds that we have here. And the day that they were in bloom, it also snowed. Of all places, it snowed in... it wasn't a big snow, just tiny little bits of snow that hardly made an impression on the ground. Here's a musical instrument we picked up in a famous town called Nazareth. Nazareth is populated entirely by Arabs. It's a Christian town from way back in the Jewish state of Israel. So in a way, this sort of symbolizes probably the impossible dream that peoples of various religions should get together, something that has never happened in the last 2,000 years. It's called a durabeki, and you can make a joyful noise by going like this.
What does this represent?
This is
the name. Oh. Well, I mean, it's a circle, isn't it?
The all information.
Yeah, it does.
Okay. So, are there some more Easter symbols?
I'd like to have a chance. I've written on the back of this feature, springtime of life, representing a new generation. This picture shows eagerness and enjoyment of learning. Take note of the hands.
Oh.
Also, for me, something I treasure. Mary Lou told me that I could bring anything that I treasured. And this I think I treasure about the most. This is my great-grandson. He has none of my genes. But he's just as much a grandson.
We'd be very proud of that.
We love
that.
Each other.
Look at him.
And
there
it can be hung by
us. Oh, okay. Beautiful, thank you. Good, now the tree's coming to life. Pat Cottage.
I had to bring this goose egg. It's not decorated. This is a real color. I had never seen one before. Maybe most of you have, but I thought it came from a white goose, and I thought it would be very nice to put it on the tree. And then I had to bring a package of seeds, not just because most of us are gardeners, but somehow seeds symbolize spring. Spring is a time of hope and renewal. And hopefully each of us can become more than we are, just as a little wrinkled radish seed does.
Sometimes it's frightening to think of what we're going to become if we keep growing at this rate.
No.
Everybody is one.
No wonder it's raining on me.
Oh, it's the pussy willow?
Yeah, raining.
Pussy willow is raining. That's a very nice fertility thing.
So I bring my scarf, which has little blue and green strawberries on it.
Green strawberries. My strawberry bed is now becoming green, and in June we'll have hopefully big strawberries, and maybe I can share some of them with you.
After the dancing that we're going to do in a few minutes, I am going to make a brew, which I've already started. This is a spring tonic. In the South, you see people going out to get themselves a mess of greens in the spring. Well, this will really do it to you. And it's got dill and thyme and lots of wild things in it. And I will mix it up with wine for you at the end of the program.
Yeah, I've got something. The masking tape represents part of me. And this thing represents another part. This is a Unitarian singles camp. And 4 years ago, when I went to my first Unitarian singles camp, that's the first place I ever got the courage to stand up and invite other people to do something that I liked doing. And four people came with me and we did it. And this has been a very growing thing for me, and I'm going to hang this on the tree with my masking tape.
Is this rubber banding something you mentioned? No. It means you. All right, Jeffrey, I'm a rubber band. Anybody else have something? Okay.
I can't guarantee it'll stay on the tree because it belongs to these two.
Oh no.
A little girl who has one. See?
Oh, they are beautiful.
Their mothers made them for an Easter program last week. And they went to the program. And I thought one of the things that we always tried to do with our children, even when they were very, very poor, was have one new thing at Easter. And they're lucky because they've got new dresses and pinafores that their mothers made for them, and they've got the hats to go with it.
They can wear them around. That would
be
so much
fun. They get tired of wearing them. So we'll just set them here, and you can see how pretty they are. The children made the colored the rabbits, and the mothers sewed on the ribbons.
Okay, we'll just put one of them. I'm going to turn it upside down. I think I'll just sit it here. Okay, now the children have a song that they're going to sing for you.
If anyone wants to join, this is number 6.
Contented with yesterday's glory, I cantive on promises winter to sing. Today is my moment, and now is my story. I'll laugh, and I'll cry, and I'll sing. Today while the blossom still clings to the vine, strawberries, I'll drink your sweet wine. A million tomorrows shall all pass away, ere I forget all the joy that is mine today.
Thank you. We received some new members this year, which is a process that takes place when you finally work up the courage to sign the book. And as somebody who took 2 years to take the courage to do that myself, I understand that feeling. And Fran and Micah is going to read off the names of the new members. And will those of you who are here today, please stand up as she reads your name, and then we'll all stand up together and read the pledge from the front of the songbook.
Joseph Kaufman, Linda Lucas, Sue Fred Miller, Kathy Miller, Vicki Lisman, David Lisman, Sally Wilma, Kim Carter, John Oliver, Donna Albright, Christine Winslow, Laura Kohlweiler, Toby Kohlweiler, Richard Peterson, William Swile, Carol Schrader, and Dean Schrader, Jim Undercoffler, John Lewis, Michael Briggs, Norma Briggs, Julia Bonser, Richard Bonser, Pat Watkins, George Hall, Joan Hall, and Jimmy and Arnie Clay.
Okay, we'll say the pledge together, and this will be followed by our singing together at number 29.
Stand up, please.
And we, the members of Prairie, wish to associate ourselves together in a religious community which affirms that we share a common humanity, that we need one another, and that our futures are inescapably bound together. Together we would expand our intellectual horizons, enrich our sensory experiences, and deepen our emotional sensitivities. We would sharpen our ethical awareness and broaden our sense of social responsibility. We would stand tall in our quest for integrity of life, yet not at others' expense. As the prayer stretches out until it becomes one with the sky, let us reach out to touch and be one with the natural world and with one another. That's from the heart to the head.
From the what?
that's from the heart to the verse about reason we were all giggling about. The final reading which we have today is an introduction to the dancing, which after the reading we are going to do. Do you want, after the reading, do you want to introduce the dance before we push the chairs back or afterwards?
Either way.
Okay. First, Rosemary has to read. Oh, you don't have to read? Who has it? Oh, you do, Farron, I'm sorry.
The English folk play often begins with a clearing of a circle for the performers. The circle has universal magic significance and is thought to contain the very life forces of the worshippers and the objects of their ritual.
We're going to do two dances, both of them English country dances, and I don't know why they're country dances except that they're supposed to be simple dances. The first one is in a circle and it's called Gathering Peace Cods, and peace cods are a pea pods a little later in the season, but this is a dance which is fun to do and the music is very pleasant, and this dance is a little harder, so the wee children would please be our audience, and the bigger kids, all the rest of us, will do the dance. The next dance is going to be a processional, and everybody will do that. So we need to clear the spaces, and let's dance.
The chairs go all flat and then stack the way we did it for the shake.